victory today. How many want victory? Come on, how many want victory? You want to claim victory. Amen. Victory today, July. We bless the Lord for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Thank God for the way He blessed one of the God. Amen. All of the speakers, all of the services. Amen. We just so thank you. So glad when we need, we can't take God with us. We can say that here. Amen. We serve a big God. He's everywhere at the same time. So we thank God for that. Amen. Let's be mindful to keep those in prayer, amen, that are in need of healing. You still serve a God who's able to heal.
Amen.
He has not changed. He still has power to heal.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. We thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you. Give us up the hand breaks. Genesis, the 17th chapter. I was preparing for the 18th chapter, but whoever was speaking last week shirked me the responsibility. I don't know who that was. I ain't gonna tell you. Amen. But nevertheless, we just say it. Amen. And I thought that person would tell us this chapter up. They said, that's their favorite chapter. Amen. But nevertheless, amen. We serve a mighty good God, and amen. The more we just think of His goodness. Anybody just think of God's goodness? We just think of His goodness. We just think of His goodness, and we thank God for all of His stuff. We serve the mighty good God. So we're going to turn to Genesis 17 chapter, and we'll read verses. I'm not going to get through all of this. Actually, I cut my notes short because there were so many. Because this starts a new episode in dealing with God. Amen. This is a new episode in dealing with God because in this chapter, God brings in a new relationship.
Amen.
Remember, all the names of God that He uses are in correspondence or in regards to a relationship. Amen. So He brings in a new relationship. Same God, but a different relationship.
Amen.
So we're going to read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll get as far as we can with the help of the Lord. And Lord tarry, next week we will go further. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Elder Gibbs said there's supposed to be a breakfast here this coming Saturday. The breakfast Saturday.
Amen.
Amen. So spread the word so that we can have to invite some people in the neighborhood out for the breakfast. I believe it starts at 10 o'clock. Amen. So verse 1 reads, and when the Abram 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful of many nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. May the Lord have the best to the reading of the word of the church said.
Word of the Lord is
that's all right, and you see it. Amen. So what I thought. do a summary of some of the relationships of God and the fact that everything from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus. Everything from where? Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus. And you know, sometimes we kind of wonder why people can't understand that there's only one God. And you try to understand how they try to make a trinity out of God. And we know in the very first Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. And the term, and we're going to go over this a little later, notice the term that they use for God is, in the Hebrew, is Elohim. And Elohim is plural. So the Trinitarians say that to say that God is saying that there are many gods. He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Ghost. Right? So they take that to say that there was a triad or a trinity. But how do we know our relationship? God deals with mankind and relationship. For instance, all the way up until he created man, he was God or Elohim. But after he created God, he said, then he was the Lord God. Because up until that point, there was no man to have a relationship. Once he created man, then he became the Lord God, and he became the Lord God to create man, because that was a different relationship. The Lord showed that he had a covenant relationship. So it's important to know the covenant a little later too. A covenant relationship. But an unsaved person doesn't know him as Lord God. They only know him as God, or know him as the Creator, because he created everything. And I was thinking, you know, when they get messed up with relationships, I'm going to use myself. How many people am I?
One.
I said, how many people do I look like? How many people am I?
One.
Now, I'm going to if you think of this in terms of God and relationships, all right? So I'm one person. I am the pastor of Agape, but I'm still
one
person. All right? My relationship as pastor is a spiritual relationship. I am a husband of my wife, Evangelist Paulette, but I'm still the
one
person, right? Now, I'm a male. Let's use it. Don't say pastor, because that's it. I'm a male. But in the male, I'm going to show you all of the different characteristics, and each characteristic is a relationship to a relationship. All right? So I'm male pastor, still the same person. I'm male husband, still the same person. Right? I'm a male, I'm a son, but I am still, because these are different relationships. I'm a male, but I'm still the same male. Right? I have children. I'm a father, but I'm still
the same person.
In other words, my name's changed in regards to the
relationship.
But I'm still
the same
person. Right? So I can have a plurality of names, but it doesn't change my character or who I am. I'm a grandfather, and I'm still the same male. I don't change. Well, God is the same. God is the same, but he changes in regards to the
relationship.
Do you all understand that?
Amen.
For instance, some of you all are mothers, some of you all are grandmothers, some of you all are wife. I'm talking about the wife family now, not the multiplicity. But you're still the same one person.
Amen.
So your role changed in regards to the relationship. Well, so it is with God. He is the same God, but his roles change in regards to the
relationship.
Amen. So what I want to bring out here, we go a little further when we go back to the notes. Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abram was 90 years and 9, the who? The Lord. Now it's important. We have to pay attention there. Now we deal with a what? Relationship. We know that Abraham had a relationship. So he said, look, the Lord shows he has a what? Covenant relationship. Are you with me?
Amen.
So the Lord appeared. When the Lord appeared, that means he knew what?
It didn't say the Lord spoke to him. It said the Lord what? He was in a physical form. The Lord appeared. And this is important because this shows you all the different relationships of God, but he's still the same one. You with me? All right. So the Lord appeared to Abraham and said up here, I am
the Almighty God.
But he's still the one God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. All right. Now let's get down to verse 3. And Abraham fell on his face and the Lord appeared. Now who's talking? God. It did not change. He's still God. And God talked with him, saying. All right. And then I'm just going to skip down to verse. Let me just skip down to verse. Almost the end of the chapter, we didn't go here. Go down to verse 22. Now he's the Lord, right? He's Almighty God. Now he's God. But he's still
one.
He's still what? Amen. And he said he appeared to Abraham. Alright? Now verse 22 said, and he left off talking with him and what?
God went up from Abraham.
God what?
Went up.
Well, we know that God is a what? Spirit. And if God is a spirit, we know that he didn't see God in a spirit form. So the question is, in what form did he see him? What form did he see him? Right? Because they say he appeared, he talked to him, and then up a little further it says that Abraham fell on his face before him. Right? So God is in a physical form. So he's the Lord. He's Almighty God, he's God. But he is? He's still one. All right. With that in mind, now let's go to our notes. All right, do we all understand that?
Amen.
Actually, let me read one of the verses. Sister, can you turn to 1 Timothy 3:16? Because we're studying so much, and I'm comparing a lot of the Hebrews. How many know the Israelites and the Hebrews can't figure out what's wrong with Christians? Seriously, they can't figure out. They said, I'm worthy of you making three gods when there's only, how many?
One
God. All right. So, like I said, the term they like to use in God's relationship is the term Elohim. But Elohim is in the plurality because he's going to come in many different forms. But he's still one. So first, Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, what? Great is the mystery of
Godliness.
Great is the mystery of who?
Godliness.
Now, Jesus was manifest in the flesh.
God.
Who?
God
was manifest in the
flesh.
Justified in the
spirit.
What? Seed of angels. Preach unto the Gentiles. Believe on in the
world.
And who was received up in the glory? Well, who was it? It was Jesus. Right? In the book of Acts, chapter 1, it said, no man stands still there as Jesus was received. And it said, they asked him, why stand ye gazing? He was received up in the what? Glory. So why you stand here gazing? Say so this same Jesus. Right? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall come again. Right, but the thing is, he will receive us in the glory. But we're talking about who? God. Manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. He's the what? Same God. And that's so important for us to realize. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have to figure out how many gods there is. There's only one God. His relationships change. Amen? His relationships change. So we all understand that.
Amen.
All right. Now, I say, I would have loved to have been alone today if I was back there. I would have loved to been back there when God gave us the original language in Pictograph. You have to try and figure out why all of the old patriarchs never got confused in dealing with God. Isn't that a good point? Why did they get confused? Because God used picture art. When you look at, if you look at a picture of a dog, you know that is a what?
Dog.
If you look at a picture of a, you ever, like when you travel, you say, this is a deer cross, you know that is a
deer.
So when God used, and this is so so important, we need to grasp it. God's original language, there was no ambiguity. There was no debate. There was no trying to figure out what that's going to do all in picture art. Amen. I would say I would love to just see some of those pictures of God. So his first language was not a written language, it came in letters. It came later from the Aleph and the Bet in Hebrew, but the original language was all picture art. So when all the people are looking at it, they knew what it meant. You couldn't say, well, that dog, like a cat. I mean, we're not dealing with dogs. A cat is trying to use something to compare to. So God's original language is in what? Picture form. Pictograph or hieroglyphics. That was his original language. And God's original language was from right to left. Like today they say, well, God's language was backwards. His language was backwards. He's from his start language. So God's language is always from right to left. And it's amazing how all through the years they were never debated like we have a Trinity. Right? The only one that ever had a Trinity was the devil. And there was never a Trinity until after Babylon, when Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz formed the first Trinity. So the Trinity is never a God creation. God always speaks himself as one. So now, if we go to our notes, y'all with me, sir? Yeah. Now, you all have this, but I just thought it would be good to bring it out again. This is God's original language. He wrote in picture form, amen? So we have the first page, it shows it. Then also on page 2, it shows a different one. And the Aleph and the Tav, Aleph is the first, a strong leader with reference to God. And the Tav is the cross, right? So the Aleph and the Tav would be our, what today is called the Alpha and the Omega. So in the first line of the Bible, we will see that God brings out the Aleph and the Tav. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, it ends with the Alpha and the Omega. But the Alpha and the Omega is still the Aleph and the Amen. Now let's go to page 3. And we're going to go back to the beginning just as a refresher. Then we're going to lead up to Abel. Amen. You all with me? All right. Genesis 1:3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we want to remember, Hebrew is written from what? Right to left. Y'all can stop me if you need to, but don't stop me. All right, so the first thing we want to deal with is in the beginning. Now remember, this would have been written in what form? Picture form. A pictograph, a hieroglyph, it would have been in a picture form. All right, so let's go over in the beginning. All right, the very first line in the Bible. Now we know in the beginning. Now let's see what this points to in the beginning. So the first portion of in the beginning would be Beth, which is the house, and Resh. And we know the combination of Beth, Resh, Bar, which is what? Son. And this is the very first line of the Bible. So the Beth, Resh forms the what? Son. Af is who? God. He's a head, he's an ox, he's a strong one. Shin means to consult or to be destroyed. Yah is the hand of works or arm, and Tam is the covenant part of the cross. So the very first words in the Bible is that the Son of God will be destroyed by his own arm, or own hand on a cross. That's the very first beginning of the Bible. The Son, the Bethresh of the Son, will be destroyed by his own hands on the cross. That's how in the beginning means. So it tells you right there, it points to who? Jesus. The Son of God will be destroyed by his own hands on a cross. And if we compare Revelation, do y'all have that with it? Y'all understand that, right? So it shows you land that was what?
Slain before the
foundation
of the world.
Slain before the foundation. So before God put the foundation, in the beginning, it says the Son of God would be destroyed by his own hands on a
cross.
And then Revelation said, what a wonderful God we serve. Said, a man slain before God.
Foundation
of the world. And then Isaiah 46 said, we all know that he said, he declared the end
from the beginning.
You know, sometimes we, I used to read that, but I don't remember really, I knew he had declared the end from the beginning and known unto God all of his works from the beginning. But he declared the end from the beginning. How? In the beginning.
Amen.
He declared the end. He said, the Son of God will be destroyed by his own hands on a cross. When did he declare this?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
So then after in the beginning, we come to Creator, Bara. Okay? And it says, the Hebrew Beth, which is pictured as a tent, meaning family. And the Hebrew Resh, we already know the Resh represents the Son. And the Hebrew El, pictured as an ox, is the Son of God. So the Creator exchange is who?
The Son of God.
Mm-hmm. This is all in the first line of the Bible.
Amen.
It says he's going to be destroyed by his own hands on the cross. Then it says the Creator, who is the Son of God. And Colossians said, for by him were all things created. God's word is so plain and so simple. All you have to do is just let God be God. By him are all things created. And John said in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Who is this? We're talking about the Greek. So the Creator is the Son of God. I would love to see that picture. So the old timers, they already knew it. The patriarchs knew it. There was no guessing. All right. So we're just trying to show you his relationship. All right. So next we get to God. In the beginning, God, the Son. Listen, the first verse talks about the first words talk about the Son of God. The next word talks about the Son of God. Everything points to who? The Son of God. So God, we went over this last week, is the word Elohim, and it says it's in the plural. Right? So we already got God already in different manifestations in the faith first verse. So Elohim, we went over last week, the Aleph is the strength of God on the head, the Lamed is the shepherd, He is grace, the arms open, God is my hands of words. Now when God wrote this, he didn't write the letters, he wrote these pictures. So when they looked at it, they didn't guess. They didn't try to figure it out because it was plain and simple. Amen? So we say this, that the Son of God will be destroyed by his own hand on the cross. The Creator, Son of God, and then it says God. And then it really says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. Besides, you mean all of this is in picture form in the very first verse.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Amen?
Amen?
And then I told you what really got me really interested is in between God and the heavens, there's an 18. It's like, wow. Now, you know, God is so phenomenal. God doesn't just do stuff like we do it just. Put something there. So when I was studying the ET, all of the translators said is an unrecognizable word. They just left it question mark, question mark. Wait a minute. We know God doesn't put no question mark, question marks. Right? So the translators had no words for this ET. And this is how I found out about this picture. Well, the ET, in between all of that, is really the F. Which is the Alpha Omega. Everything in that first verse is pointing to who? Jesus. Amen. The Alpha, the ET is the Alpha
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So then we go to the heavens. Right? Now the heavens, this is originally God's, just to get the pictures to what God originally world in. So we have hate, which is grace, to behold, an open arm. Shed means to consume or destroy. Men is water or nations. God is hand, words, or arm. And men again is water or nation. So the heavens say, behold, destruction by water. More specifically, behold, the works of your hands will be consumed and destroyed by. Is that what happened with Noah? Listen, this is after it happened. God is telling us what happened. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are. And God is telling, he tells the story in the first verse. What a mighty God we serve. So the heavens. Then once again we get back to the end, which is another 18. Alright, that's Vav, Alf, Tav. It says that the nail God to the covenant. Right? The 18. God is bound by his covenant. Therefore, God's covenant by which he is bound is the grace, our gift of God, which is his. Wait, how many times in the first verse is God going to reference Jesus? And actually, Jesus is a mistranslation because up until the 16th century, there was never a J. That's why the Jews won't say Jesus, even the Messianic, because the J, the letter J, never came into existence until the 16th century. I know some of y'all don't look it up, but it's true. There was no J. So that's why he said, well, it can't be Jesus. But listen, we can just go by who we are. We can't go back change the everything. My turn to change it, and then we're in this world, all right? So then after the ET comes the earth, and the earth in itself tells a story. God picture words paints a picture and they tell a story, amen? So the earth is hay, which is the old race of man with an arm open. The aft, you notice, the strength, God of the head. Resh is the highest person. And Sade means to hunt, fish, all right? So the earth is comprised of the Hebrew letter He, Aleph, Resh, and Sade. The letter He was pictured as a man with an outstretched arm. This is what we already know then. The conclusion, let's go down first. The Sade is pictured as a man lying on his side. The symbolic meaning of the letter Sade was to hunt or fish. The conclusion of Sade is even more remarkable. It is our great commission, go fishing. How did this all get in the first verse? Think about it. In the first verse, and it says, this was God's promise to the world. Behold, I will send for many fishes, saith the Lord. They shall fish them, and after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the hole of the cross, as Jeremiah 16:16. And Jesus says, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you
fishers of men.
Everything in scripture fulfilled Genesis 1:1. Can't get back. All that is in the first verse. So let's go a little deeper. There are five Hebrew letters which have a soften form, which is used when one of these five letters concludes a word, such as Sade in the earth. The traditional form of the Sade is a man or big knees are laying down, representing humility, as to kneel before or to lay down one's life. The soften form is the righteous man upright and hands held high. If this is not a picture for Christ Jesus, I don't know what is. The humble servant laying down his life and rising again. So the earth is the grace of God in Jesus, who died and the grace of God. The earth means the grace of God is in Jesus, who died and rose again. Now you go fishing. Amen.
service. So there are times that's why sometimes God, it takes me forever. Actually, I started this last week when I was in Georgia. I was like, wow, that 17th chapter just has so much in it. And just understanding God and his relationship. So now God's name as compared to the ancient Hebrew manuscript in Genesis 2:4 is, this is Lord. Alright, Lord. Yahshua. Okay? That's the original manuscript. You all can look at that in a long time, but it's Yahweh Yore, which is Yahweh. Which is the prophet, that is the name of God, is Yahweh. All right, remember that. All right, but I want to skip a lot of this for now. Okay, let's go to, we know that God has his name to Abram, and when he has his name to Abram, he becomes Abraham. And Sarai, she becomes Sarah. So Abram means exalted father. And when God adds his name or his spirit to Abraham, he becomes the father of nations. When he becomes the father of nations. Sarah means prince. When God adds his name, those who are read, that's God, add his name, he becomes Sarah. Remember, Sarah was barren, and Abraham was also, he said he was past, his seed was dead. So this is when he was 99 years old. But you know, actually, his seed could not have been dead, because when Sarah died, he was only 37. Then after Sarah died, he did what? He remarried. Right? So at 137 years old, he remarried Keturah. And then he had more children. So this is something to think about. Just throw that in your little thinking cap. But the scripture says his seed was dead. But when God put his spirit, when he put his spirit in it, when he became the El Shaddai, when he became the all-powerful, then God was able to bring that dead body back to life. And that's why Romans said, God quickeneth the dead. And call those things that be not as though they were. That's Romans 4:17. Amen. All right, let's keep moving. All right, we want to know what Isaac left, but I just want to show you this in Isaac, okay? Now, we don't believe in gematria, because that is when they try to use numbers to predict the future. Right. But let's look at Isaac's name. We went over this last week, it means to cut off. But there's an amazing story that is revealed in Isaac's name. His name was Yitzhak, a Yah, Sadeh, Shef, Kuf, Elijah. Yah is the number 10. And we get from that, we get the 10th commandment. Now this is in Isaac before he was born. Amen? Sadeh is the number 90. How old was Sarah when Isaac was born? 90. This is in his name. Alright? Shep is 8. How old was Isaac when he was circumcised? 8. And Kuf is 100. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Only God could have put the story of his name. So we can't just look at the Bible like an average book. You just say, like, oh, what are you trying to say? So in Isaac, he said, listen, your mother's going to be 90. Your father's going to be 100. You're going to be circumcised when you're 8 years old. And I'm going to put it in your name. Well, why is it so important? Because not only is you going to be circumcised when you're 8, but all that's going to start with the covenant that I'm going to make with me. What a mighty God you serve. The Abrahamic covenant was brought to who? Isaac. And Ishmael was cut off. That's in his name. It says, if you read it up, you can go back to it. I'm going to show you that Ishmael will be cut off. We can see this is the name.
Isaac. In Hebrew, Isaac, we don't want to go over that. Let's keep going. Let's go for Wolverine. In the ultimate test of one's faith, God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. It is quite a main test. One, I'm not sure any of us would pass. But Abraham does, and it is recorded in Genesis 22:9-14. You can almost picture Abraham taking his son by the hand, and then in his arm, and laying him down to cut him with a knife. But the angel intervened in the nick of time. What is truly remarkable is that this picture was painted before Isaac's birth when the Lord told Abraham, your wife Sarah will bear your son, and you shall call him Isaac. Actually, all these word pictures are painted before time began. And Isaac is a very interesting story also, because even in Abraham going to sacrifice him. The story of Isaac, if you compare it, compares to the story of Christ. Right? Because Isaac carried his own wood. Jesus carried his own cross. When the angel of the Lord stopped Abram, right, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his. When Jesus was crucified, he placed a crown of thorns on his. Right? That's why Isaac is a type of Christ. And that's why the Bible says when God told Abraham, he said, your son, your what? Only son. Right, that's what I'm trying to say. All right. I just thought I thought, but there are some other similarities in Jesus and also in Isaac. All right, there are some other similarities. Now, they debate what was the age that Isaac was actually to be put on the altar as a sacrificial lamb. But we know that Jesus was crucified when he was 33 years old. So it's been a debate as to whether Isaac was in his 20s or his 30s. Well, if he's a type of Christ, then it is, they are so much similar. Then I believe that Isaac also did sacrifice when he was in his 30s, because to become a high priest, you have to be at least 30 years old. I won't go there. That will not confuse y'all. Let's think. Let's put that up later. Ministry, health, evangelists. All right. They were only revealed later. Quite astounding. No one at all wrote. We went over that already. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes, God gives you peace. He said, I will keep you in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. If your minds are what? Stayed on him. Then Paul writes, and the peace of God, which passes, when you get in God like you ought to be, right? When you let God rule supreme in your life, it passes all understanding, and that peace will keep your hearts and to keep you in perfect peace. If your mind is what? God's word is so consistent throughout the world. So a lot of people today don't have peace. Well, where is your mind? But let's look at peace. The picture art for peace, amen, is the destruction of the shepherd. This is what peace means. The destruction of the shepherd who was nailed and shed blood
for our peace.
That's what the word peace means. The destruction of the shepherd who was nailed and shed blood. Now, y'all know that. I don't know a lot of words for this. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. We did all that to bring you up to the point that God has told the story before the story was ever told.
Amen.
God told the story before the story was ever told. Now Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am thee. He said, this is a different relationship because God is about to do something different in their lives. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou
perfect.
And we know nobody is perfect.
perfect. Even though Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect as I am perfect. We can't be perfect. It means we have to strive for perfection or completion. Because we'll never be perfect until we get to glory. Alright? So God tells Abram, he says, and be ye therefore perfect. Alright? The big question is, who is the Lord? Right? Who is the Lord? Because they say, well, he's different. He's not God. Let's see what the scripture says. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In the Hebrew, it would go like this. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. That's what it means.
Amen.
So it tells you Elohim is
one.
God. Because he is
one.
If you get it in Hebrew, now I hope nobody Hebrew don't listen to this because I know it's kind of chopping up in the bed. Right? But that's what it says. It says that Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Yeshua, is Elohim. It says that he is, but then he is one. So how do you keep telling them to pray? The Sheba, that is part of their prayer. Behold, here it is, the Lord our God is. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer,
the Lord.
He said, I am
the first,
and I am, now we're talking about who's the Lord, the last. And beside, well, did Jesus say, I am the first, and I am the last? And he said, beside me, there is. So if there is no God, and if the Lord in the Old Testament is the first and the last, he has ability to say in the New Testament. Because he's the first and the last. He said, after the death, after the temp, sorry, or he's the Alpha and the Omega. Well, we know that Jesus, when he was there, he wasn't speaking no Greek. Jesus spoke what? Aramaic or Hebrew? So when Jesus spoke, Jesus and the interpreters interpreted it in Greek. But if Jesus spoke, you know what he would say? He said, I'm an F and I'm a calf. Because he spoke Hebrew. So he said, go right back to the beginning. And that's what I mean. So who is the Lord? Amen? Isaiah 44:8 says, fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God, and no not any. And Isaiah 45:5. I didn't put them all there, I just put enough to let you know there ain't no one. He's the Lord. And his name is Jesus. I am the Lord and there is. Wait a minute. He said, I'm the Lord and there is. So the Lord appeared unto Abram. He said, I am the Lord and beside me there is. Jeremiah 10:10 said, the Lord is the what? Wait a minute. The Lord is what? The Lord is the true God. Now we're trying to figure out who appeared. Now we know that Christ tells Abraham, tells the Jews, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my name. That's a big debate, you know, because we know that Jesus wasn't actually born into Mary, conceived him. But then the scripture says in Psalm 110 that he's after the order of this. Then Hebrews 7 says, Melchizedek had no mother, no father. No beginning, no end. And see, he had no genealogy. When they said Jesus had no beginning, Jesus had no end, and Jesus had no genealogy. Something to think about. We're going to go too much on that. All right. But let's go down to Mark 12:29. We're talking about the Lord and the true God. Mark 12:29, Jesus answered him. The first of all commandments is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O work we stole not, but because God has made thyself God. He didn't make himself God, the scriptures made him God. That's why he becomes stoned, the stone. And I believe it's in John 10:30. Jesus said, I am my Father. He was like, wait a minute. He was trying to find every road they could. Wait.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said,
All of them become great until God changes his name. Sometimes we need to go in our little church closet and say, Lord, change my name.
Yes.
I need to change. Abraham and Sarah didn't become great to God. Change their names. Lord, when we put your spirit in me, just change. Change my name. Amen. Almighty God, the Hebrew El Shaddai, El denotes power, and Shaddai be derived from the Akkadian Shadu, which means to over to overpower. Alright? Portraying God as the overpowering Almighty One who will supernaturally provide descendants for Abraham when all means
fail.
What a mighty God we serve. You know, when he's talking to keep Caraway in the hospital of the age, and the doctor was giving him that he does his prognosis. He was a good doctor, I can't tell you. I said, all right, now that you finished, can we go to the main doctor? And he just did all he do is I said, we appreciate you, but I believe we have a Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. He said, great physician. He said, yes. He said, yes. Then he comes out to say something, he changed the words. He said, you just got to say that bad word. Yeah, thank you. But you know, ultimately, God can do what nobody can do. God can quicken, God can change. So we always have to believe God for a miracle. But in receiving a miracle, you can't be what you're used to be. So a lot of us are trying to get God to overpower us, to God to overshadow us, to God to perform miracles. But we want to still be Abram and Sarah. Jacob didn't become great till God changed his name. Even Peter, God had to change his name. A name change means that there's a new God in your life. And when you accept that God, you don't look back, you go what? Forward. That's what Paul said, forgetting. Paul said, if I remember when I was young, if I remember how bad I messed up, if I remember all the Christians I killed, he said, I can't go forward in God. He said, so I got to forget. If the church ever learned to forget, right, press forward. Forget everything. Listen, you can't change what people do and how people act towards you. Your own accountability is what you did. Right? So you can deal with the biggest devil in the world. Just be God. Be right.
And
say, well, see, I remember there was a time when you used to didn't do that. Look, like I said, I got a name change. Seriously, I got a name change. When I got a name change, God did the miraculous.
Well,
if there are two, there we have 10 votes. But because the Lord is God and God is the Lord, and Jesus is God, they don't have one.
Amen. The Lord God is the temple of it. Amen. Revelation 22:13 says, I am Alpha
and Omega.
And Omega. And Hebrew will say, I'm Alpha and I am Tau. I am the beginning
and the end.
He said, I am the
first and the last.
What then? Isaiah said he's the first and the last, and besides him there is? How many first and last do we have? There ain't but
one.
There ain't but one. Is there more than one Almighty God? We know that the answer is no. Alright, so if we compare 40, Isaiah, you know, compare those, let me go a little further. Wow. Alright, let's go down. You can read this in your spare time, okay? These things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The statement above did not say that an angel appeared. It said the who appeared? The Lord appeared, right? And another way of saying the Lord is, I am that I am. Remember when Moses said, well, who should I tell them sent me? To tell them I am. The Lord has been the same throughout history. He changes the name to relationship, but he's still one. Amen. We know from evangelists falling to the Pennsylvania and Kansas teaching that the term anthropomorphism is a term that gives God human characteristics. We also know from the Bible that God is a spirit, meaning that he has no physical attributes. John 4:24 says God's a spirit. This is why the scripture says that the Lord appeared. Because God could not appear because God is a spirit. So the only way that he could appear was he had to be in a human form. Alright? The Lord is the physical appearance of the
invisible God.
Of the what? The invisible God. In the person of a man, also called a theophany, is an appearance of God. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fire? Nebuchadnezzar stood up and said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three in? He said, how did I look at that man? How am I looking at that man? I gotta stay, my God. I guess I'm stepping off. I can't go back down. I can't go down south before I change, but I gotta come back down. He said, didn't we throw three in? He said, but how do I see? And the fourth is the form of the Son of God. The fourth is the form of the what?
Son of God.
Son of God. Hallelujah. That's the physical appearance of the invisible, the invisible God. Amen. The Lord is physical appearance. And theophany is God taking on human form. Now, Kesedek and Jesus are both images of the
invisible
God. And we went over this in John 8. Jesus said, very, very, simply, before Abraham was,
I am.
You know what he said? He was saying, I am Yahweh. Right? Look up. He said, I am Yahweh. And that's why those Jews said, wait a minute, you are Yahweh? They took up stones to what? And that's why the Jews were upset when Pilate wrote the saying about Jesus on the cross. Because they said they were in the city so they could see it. So you know what Pilate actually wrote was on the cross, he wrote Jehovah. If you break it up in its own, that's why the Jews said, don't say that he is God, say he's dead. Paul Pilate said, well, I've written up there. Tells you, he said, wait, you calling him God? They said, change the subscription, the superscription that you've written. Pilate said, well, I've written up there. Because Pilate really didn't want to crucify Jesus because he said, I find
no fault.
No fault. Pilate told him, he said, don't you want that power to release you? He said, you ain't got no power at all. He said, you want for my father? Pilate said, wait a minute. Let me go out there and talk to them again. See if I need to release. I said, you don't have no power at all. Amen? All right, my time's almost up, so I won't get through all of this. We'll get as far as we possibly can. All right? Now, let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, and verse 14. And we're talking about the invisible God, right? The Lord in appearance. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the
image of
him? We're talking about who? Jesus. The only part of God you'll ever see is Jesus. Because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. How can I say firstborn? Because in the beginning, tells us the Son of God to be crucified on the cross. In the beginning. For by him all things
were created.
Didn't it say created is the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and read it, then all things created are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or power. All things were created by him. I think I Genesis 24, verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they
saw the God of Israel.
Wait a minute. How do they see God of
Israel?
When God is a
spirit.
But they saw, the scripture didn't say they saw a spirit. They saw who? God of Israel. And there was
under his feet.
Under his feet, as it were a big work of sapphire stone. And as it were the body of the heaven in but in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand, and they also
saw God.
They also saw God. So who or what did they see? Because we know it wasn't the Spirit of God. Because God is a spirit. So what did they see? Amen. Numbers 28 says, with them will I speak to mount to mount. Right? He's talking about Moses. Apparently not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be
behold.
Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against him? And 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is what? The who? For God who commands the light to shine out of darkness and shine into our hearts and give the light of the
knowledge of
the
glory of God,
of the glory of God in the
face
of Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All right, that's good enough. So Lord willing, we'll pick up from here next week. Amen. So, that's enough for you all to chew on. But you need to know who we believe and then who we believe. And we should lay to death the Trinity. Because the Lord is one God. Right?